Welcome, Atleticos. We're back again. It's another day of Budapest 2023. We're doing our little roundup at the end of the evening, and we told you we're going to have some special guests. Long jump final this evening, so who better to get than long jump queen herself? Jade Johnson is with us.
Hello, boys. Lovely to be here with you guys finally. Finally had me on. It's been long enough.
So we bumped into Jade yesterday. We're like, you're coming on, you're our first guest, because of course it was the long jump final this evening, wasn't it?
It was.
Who better to talk about it with you than you? But before we get to that, I think we need to talk about the big one this evening. We won
cat.
Cat,
let's just say it. How exciting was that 800? And also, just how emotional is it to see her winning after everything? It's crazy.
It was perfect, wasn't it? Like,
it really
multi-events. We like multi-events because you can follow it. And you know, our friend Gabby from Decathletics of Europe, like, she follows it. She has everything written down. But even if you're not an aficionado, you could understand what was going on in that race, right? You could understand, you know, she needs to beat her by 3 seconds. And often multi-events don't come down to that. Someone's winning,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe for the minor medals, but it's very unusual for it to be that close in a final 800 metres.
Mid-afternoon, this afternoon, we went, hang on.
We did.
Hang on.
We all did.
Cat can win this.
Wait,
this was before the javelin. So yeah. The javelin kind of sealed
long
it before,
jump.
But yeah, it was after, the long jump. Yeah. And we worked it out, like, the points-wise. We were like, oh my God, Cat only needs to, like, throw decently. And as long as the new dress doesn't throw crazy, etc. And then it all came down to 2.7 seconds, I think it was. And Anna Hall went out, but did you see, she went through in 57 or 58, which is too fast.
That's an 800 meter.
Yeah, exactly. Finally. The minute she'd gone through in that, I turned to her, I said, it's over, because she can't keep that up, you know. And Kat only had to, one and a bit seconds, so she had almost 2 seconds left. Anna Hall ran stupid fast, she still ran 204. Kat said another PB, 205, to go with her javelin PB that she set earlier.
I'm sorry, can we just talk about that javelin? Like, Kat has not been a strong thrower historically, right?
No.
And she's not looked like someone who has the technique of a thrower. That javelin throw, I'm going to call her Fatima Whitbread from now on, because literally, it was...
Fatima Whitbread.
Fatima Whitbread!
It literally, the technique was, like, the point, the reach, the stretch of the arm, the pull, it was just phenomenal.
You take a photo of that, and at the point, she will look like she's throwing a javelin, you know?
Do you know what it is?
I think
in the past with the javelin, she always was so tentative.
Yes.
Right? She's such an explosive athlete, really, if you think about it. I mean, she's graceful. She moves really gracefully. But if you think about it, she jumps over 690 in the long jump. That's explosive. She's fast. She's got that. In the high jump, isn't she on, like, 199?
Yeah.
So, like, why are you not translating that into the shot? Why are you not translating that into the jab? And you know what? It was so nice to see her finally put it together. It was like, oh! We're all like, oh, finally! Because you see it in her, but she's just never really... you know, brought it together.
But also in this stage of your career, and Kat's 30 now, but she's been to multiple championships, and we've had ups and downs with Kat. And you think, you know, in the heptathlon, you solidify things, right? And maybe you lose a bit here, but you pick up a bit there. But she's setting PBs in the javelin and the 800. Mm. Like, they're not comparable.
Yes.
You know, but do you know what it is? You know, I was thinking about it today, like, she, I think, in the past, you know, we've all spoken about how her mental is a bit this, that. Before, she was such a phenomenon as a junior, right? As a young athlete. She came out doing all this stuff, right? I was on the way out as she was on the way in, right? So, and I remember seeing her and I'm like, she's a beast. She's just got everything that she, you know, you need to be the best in the world, which obviously she went on to do. But I think what was happening, she comes across like, she's very in her head, a lot of thinking, and she also seems like a bit like a perfectionist before. And so she's so good at the long jump. She's so good at the high jump. She's really good at the 200. She's pretty good at the hurdles. I think that what happened is she's always trying to be the best to be, and maybe go for a world record. What's happened over the last few years is it's humbled her, right? She went really to rock bottom, you know, over the last couple of years. And what she's realizing now is slowly wins the race sometimes. It doesn't have to be, you know, PBs all the time. Work on your weaknesses and look at that. Consistently across the board, really good performance.
And because her event is the heptathlon.
Yes.
Her event is not individual events.
Exactly.
You're in the heptathlon, you have dips. Everybody does.
Yeah.
You know, we literally, all three of us just met Jackie Joyner Kersey, right?
We did.
And, and even Jackie was not a great javelin thrower. Like, she has, you know, everybody has peaks and drops, but you've got to look at the overall event. And that's what I think in her head she's cottoned onto now. If I have a poor event here, it's fine. We put that away and we move on to the next biggest event because it's the overall event that matters.
Yeah. But also, this heptathlon was about experience.
Yes.
You know, she has been, this is what, her fifth, sixth,
seventh
world championship. She's been to three Olympics. This is, did she miss one? Maybe she missed one.
She's a world champion.
She's a world champion in 2019. Yeah, so she has done it before. These other girls who are, Anna Hall's like 21 or 22 or something, you know, we have been, I feel quite bad actually, all season, me and Jodie have been going on and on about how much we love Anna Hall. We love Anna Hall because she did a 6,900 heptathlon, then she came to the Diamond League and did a high jump, then she did a 4 hurdles, then she did a 400 metres. And we were saying, it's amazing, she's so great, she's out there showing the fans who she is. Maybe she shouldn't have been doing that.
I, on the other hand, was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
She's doing too much. Like, when is she going to focus? Like, yeah, she did really great in the heptathlon early on, but to me, there was a bit too much going on. And I was like, I feel like she needs to just hone it in. She hasn't got this wrapped up, and as we've seen, she didn't. And you know what? You know, I heard that she actually hurt herself in the long jump a few weeks ago in training. So she slipped on the board and she jammed something in her leg. And then obviously she hurt herself in the high jump. Apparently she hurt her knee in the high jump. So, but to be honest, the way she performed over these last 2 days, and that 800, she's a warrior. I saw her go out and I said, what is she doing? I mean, she has to, but like, she's crazy. I thought she was gonna die. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she actually, she did go out a bit too hard, but she really, really still pushed. She didn't die that badly. It's just that Kat was really on a, you know, on a different level.
And experience. Even Anna Hall in the javelin, she was at 37 meters or something after the first two jumps, and then she comes out and throws a 44 in the third round. She's going to be a champion.
She is.
Absolutely going to be a champion.
This was her third heptathlon of the year.
Yeah.
You know?
And indoors, she did pentathlon. She set like one of the best times ever.
I'm sure she's learnt a lot, but this is exactly what we're talking about, experience. You know, Kat has jumped sparingly, competed sparingly. Mm-hmm. She's done what she needed to do, been quite under the radar. But when it came to it, and it wasn't a huge score, but pretty good score considering, you know, yesterday we were thinking it'd be maybe 100 points less. Mm-hmm. Nobody like was outstanding along the way, but Kat slowly but surely racked up those points. She won three events. She almost won this by stealth. Do you know what I mean?
What I'm saying. It's like before, I really felt like she used to just want to win everything and do the best. And this time, it just felt like she realised somewhere, you don't have to be like top dog in everything to win. Slowly wins, especially in a heptathlon.
And we just interviewed her, and the interview will go up on Instagram. You can see it this evening, tomorrow, last night. I don't know when this is going to drop. Probably in the morning. So it'll be on Instagram. And she says, last year in Eugene, I did the same in the hurdles and the same in the high jump, and I was really down on myself.
Yes.
But today, a different mental attitude because, you know.
No, but in life, look, I've got a 6-year-old, right? And one time he said to me, Mummy, what was it he said? He said this saying, he's very ahead of himself. He said, Mummy, when you lose, you really win because you learn something. This is what he said to me after losing to me in Snakes and Ladders. This is what he said because he got really upset. But this is the truth.
Yeah.
You don't. I've never in my whole career, anytime I've won, I've never really learned. It's always in my losses that I learn so much. So I think that finally,
well, the smart people learn.
Well, yeah, smart and Kat's obviously very smart because she's learned.
It's hilarious because that's a lesson that parents are supposed to teach their children.
I know. And at the time, he was 4 years old.
Crazy. So. Right. So we're all very, very pleased about Kat. I cried. We were with her mum. It was just amazing.
Great.
But we also have some other celebrations. Can you believe that we are 2 days into the championships and Britain has a gold, a silver and a bronze medal?
We need to apologise because I think last night we didn't really mention the mixed 4x4. We kind of said it.
So caught up in the flying Dutch woman.
Not to be disrespectful, but like, it hasn't really earned its place yet. I think it's earned its place as a on the same level as like other events that win gold. I just don't, or silver or bronze, you know. It's not yet.
But even so, it's out there, it's an event, and this time we got our act together and we actually put a decent team in.
Now we've got a silver medal, it's definitely an event.
Yeah.
Yes, it's definitely an event. Exactly. Because we've got one. And yes.
So the other British medal was Zarnell in the men's 100 metres. Like, he's looked great all season. He's world number one going into it. His start is not the best. What I love about him is he doesn't let that affect him. He's down, but he relaxes and he runs his own race, and he came through thankfully for a bronze medal.
Yeah.
Second, third and fourth all at the same time. So it's like very, very close.
988.
But I'm just very pleased for him that
he was so happy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm very pleased for him, and I hope it gives him the confidence going forward to build on that. And you know, the start needs some work. The start does need some work.
But his start actually in the final wasn't that bad.
But he's still a meter and two down.
It's better than a full start.
It's better than a full start, yes.
Exactly,
let's be extremely grateful that he actually got out not as best as some of the other guys, like Christian Coleman, but he's the best starter. You know, he's talked about as the best starter in the world. So against him, and he was next. And the thing is, he was next to him.
Yeah.
So he's going to look.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know,
we had a bit of a treat because we watched the semi-finals with Linford Christie and Christian Malcolm.
Yes.
And I said before the semi-finals, Linford Christian, who's going to win? And they refused to answer. Linford said, I'll tell you after the semis.
Well, you said you...
Hang on, sorry. So Linford said, I'll tell you after the semis. I said, Linford, anyone can tell us after the semis. I want you to tell me now. And he's like, no, I can't do it. And I said, I've got a Noah Lyles feeling. And they both went, no, I'm not so sure. Right? Then after the semis, Linford says, I've got a Noah Lyles feeling.
Do you know what? I'm not going to lie. After the semi... Before the semi, I was so excited. Like, I'm like, okay, we've got this, we've got that. You know, even though we know that Marcel's not in tip-top form, he made it into the semi. Current Olympic champion. We've got Fred Curley, current world champion at the time. And, you know, you've got all these, you know, movers and shakers in this event. After the semi-final, when Fred didn't get through, current world champion, and Marcel didn't get through, current Olympic champion, to me it took a little bit of the shine off. I want to see them in the mix. I want to see them in the final getting beat and building the excitement. But for me, it was just a bit like, okay.
But this is the problem with the men's 100 metres at the moment.
Yeah.
There isn't stars. There's a lot of good people. No, I think Noah Lyles is the only star, to be honest. There's a lot of good people, but that no one's risen to the level of being, for me, a star that is a breakout star. But on the women's side, there's 5, 6, 7 stars.
Well, think about this, guys. That final, the gold, the silver and bronze, went to really 200 metre specialists.
Yes.
Better 200 metre runners. Where's the actual pure 100 metre runner?
Fred Curley's a 400 metre runner.
He's a 400 metre runner. It's like, where are all the 100 metre runners?
That's so true.
You know what I mean? It's like crazy. Like, it's not. And I think that takes a little bit away from it for me. I think that's what also, when I looked at it, and the people that were looking, like, you know, the young guy, Oblique Seville.
Yeah.
I don't know. Someone's like, I tweeted it. I was like 15 minutes before his event, I see a tweet. Believe. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing tweeting? Don't cut. And then a few people like, social media manager. And I'm like, I bloody hope so. Because, you know, these young people nowadays, they've got their phone in their hand. I'm like,
on the start line.
How the hell did you sneak it in? Because you're not just, your phone's in the call room. But yeah, you know, I just want the days where, you know, you had the pure 100 metres, you know.
But I do think it's, you know, not that 100 metre runner winning the 100 is good for the 100, but I think that Noah Lyles doing possibly the double is good for the sport in general, because Noah Lyles is one of the breakout stars, you know, and the sport needs stars, and we've got lots at the moment, which is great, because there was a period, you know, 10 years ago where we basically had one, where everything was based around Usain Bolt, and now we've got so many big, great names in this sport, and I think someone like Noah Lyles doing a double is kind of good, you know.
I do agree, and I think that I love Noah. Yeah. What he's doing, right? I love what he's doing, and I love his, you know, he's creative, he's got so much, and he sees what the sport needs, and he's trying to know, he's going ahead with himself, going like let's do this, let's do that. He's 100%. Actually very proactive. But I mean, you can't talk about, like, Bolt is just a different level. And you know what, all of the stars right now combined do not do what Bolt did. And that's the thing, and it's really difficult to kind of follow in his footsteps, and I don't think they are, but it's a different era. We have to be, you know, we have to be happy with where we're going, but it still hasn't got that same, you know, that depth.
The thing is, Christian Coleman could have won. That would have helped at all.
Just quickly, let's mention the other finals that were on tonight, and then we're going to come and talk to the long jump with you. But just by the way, we're sat by the river. It's beautiful, but there's a lot of trains and boats. So if you hear some noise in the background, and a drone.
Drones, yeah.
We're in nature, guys.
Exactly.
Nature.
So the men's 10,000 was on tonight. Our mate, Joshua Cheptegei, he was on the plane with us on the way here. So
really?
I like to think we inspired him a little bit. Yeah. And then in the men's hammer was a great competition. We're very happy that the Hungarian guy got a bronze medal. I think it's always great for a championship.
Yeah, but something weird happened. He was winning.
Yeah.
So we didn't quite see it, but others have told me that he did an 81 metre throw and it was ruled a foul afterwards.
Yeah.
But you're in the stadium and it's really great when you're at a championship, and especially as a country like, I was going to say Bulgaria, like Hungary, who don't have that many medal chances, you want them to... You know, you want to at least get a medal, you want them to win. He ended up getting bronze, which is great. But he was actually leading for quite a way, and the huge crowd were screaming at the hammer, so it would have been great if he could have won.
Yeah,
but the guy who won the Canadian looks like a Dothraki.
Yeah,
he's lots of fun.
He is. I mean, I've never seen him, and obviously my husband is from Canada, Anton Henry, and he was like, what? Because obviously he's been breaking the Canadian record left, right, and centre, and he just seems super cool.
Really cool.
It's good for the sport.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it is Ethan Katzberg is his name, but it's good because he's a character.
Yes.
You know, he looks like a... someone you're going to remember. You know, he's not just another. And also, he's from Canada, and it's always good. We say this all the time. It's good when events have winners from unexpected sources. You know,
rather than another poll. European.
Exactly. Yeah.
For that kind of event.
So, what are your thoughts on your specialist event, the long jump?
The long jump. Well, first of all, I'm very. You know, the last time I was actually in an event watching the women's long jump was 20 years ago when I was competing in Paris. So live, like when I was there live, I was actually in the event. So it was a bit strange to be on the other side. Very much happy that I was on the other side. But it was very interesting. To be honest, before the event, I kind of put a little tweet and I was like, people asking me, who do you think? And I hate making predictions because especially with the women's long jump at the moment, it's so unpredictable right now. You know, it's like anyone could come and we know that there's some staples, right?
Yes.
But it's like a couple of those were not showing the same form, you know, all year, and they've had some issues. But this final was really, really good, actually.
Yeah.
It was a really exciting final. Obviously, you've got Tara Davis-Woodall, who's also, you know, we spoke to her on our podcast, and Anson spoke to her. She's really trying to push the event.
Yeah.
She's really trying to push the event, make, you know, bring eyes to the event. She's really a showgirl, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got Ivana Voleta from Serbia, who's she's basically like bread and butter of the long jump at the moment. You know, she's been there, done it for so many times. And then, but for me also, I was thinking Essie Broom. She's like the silent assassin. She's the dark horse. I love her technique. And then, you know, you've got Fiona May's daughter.
Pacino,
I thought she was good, but in the qualifying round, she just wasn't looking.
Did you see her face plant? She did a really weird jump.
She over rotated. She kind of like slipped and then like pole vaulted off her leg, and it's really dangerous because you can really mash up your knee like that.
Talking a minute ago about there being no stars in the men's 100,
yeah,
I think it's great that Ivana Valletta wins because she's been around a long time. I think she's 33. Mm-hmm. She's won everything indoors. She's won the world indoors, the European indoors, the European championships multiple times. Mm-hmm. She's only got bronze medals in the world championships and one Olympic bronze.
Yeah.
So she's never won a global outdoor title. And I always think someone like her who's been around forever, she deserves to be a world champion, you know?
She absolutely
And she also
does.
She jumps, what, 7:14?
7:14, yeah.
Which is fantastic jumping.
Amazing.
That's the kind of jumping we want to see winning gold medals, you know?
We do. And the thing is, to be honest, this year, the women's long jump overall is pretty strong. You have 11 girls over 690 on the world list and 20 girls over 680. So overall, the standard has gone up. But in a championships, like 661 got you into the final.
684 got you a medal, right?
688.
Yeah, right.
So because that was what happened.
Yeah, because it was the Romanian at the last minute. Yes,
and the thing is, Essie Broom from Nigeria, she was, I think from the second round, she was basically in the bronze medal position the whole time. And then in the last round, the Romanian girl, and apparently I heard that I think the first ever World Championships was the last time a Romanian won a medal in the
event.
So it's like, that was an amazing job for her. And the thing is, I'd never seen her before, and I was kind of like, oh, she's got all the tools. Like, I was looking at her in the qualifying round and looking in the early round, she jumped like 6:50. But I'm like, if she tweaks a few little things, she could go. But I didn't know what her personal best was.
She's someone who's been there and thereabouts. She's kind of gets to finals. You know her name, but you couldn't pick her out of the lineup.
No, exactly. and you know what? Last round, she comes out and 6:88 and puts Essie into the fourth position, and then she had to respond and she couldn't. So it was like drama.
It was 20 years ago that you came fourth at the World Championships. Wasn't
it? Yes. You know what? That was
a great championship.
It was a great championship. I think obviously the distances were not as far, but it was amazing because it was in Paris.
Yeah.
And
Eunice.
Do you remember that?
We were in the stadium.
Oh my gosh. The crowd, it was absolutely bananas. Obviously she's a heptathlete, but she was an amazing long jumper. And you know, we have Tatiana Kotova.
And Angie Bobby George, right?
And Angie Bobby George, who basically, I had nightmares about that. Because I think I was in third place all the way till the fifth round, and then she came out and jumped and put me into fourth, and then I panicked. And then, because I was after her to jump in the fifth round, and also I think Eunice had come out and done crazy, so it was really loud, and I just got overwhelmed, my first world. And then I think I got a no jump, and then I only had one jump to respond, and I didn't jump that well. And I tell you, for like months after, I was having like nightmares. I'd wake up and like see just Bobby George jumping over my head. I was like, no. But it was, you know, it was a really, that was a really good championship. So it was,
and like 5 minutes after that, they won the four relay as well. It was amazing. Oh, yeah.
That was the first major champ. No, it's the first world champs we went to. Mm-hmm. We only went for like the two or three days, didn't we? And it was one of my best experiences in a stadium.
Yeah.
Where
yes.
you have like two gold medals from the host host country, and everyone in that stadium is like involved. It was just the whole crowd were like shouting for one.
I think the craziest thing I've ever heard in my all my years of competing and doing whatever was at the Olympics in 2004. I was on the runway trying to jump, and the girl in the hurdles, the Greek girl, won the gold medal. Never in all my life heard a noise like this in my life. I've never, it was ridiculous, but that was probably the loudest I've heard. But going back to the long jump, what was really interesting, and you know, because she's going to be the, you know, the future, we're talking about Tara Davis. In the first round, Ivana was first to jump and Tara was last, right?
Oh.
So Ivana got a no jump. Then Tara jumped 6.91, yeah. Really easy, really, really relaxed, but directly the, you know, to go next in the second round, first jump was Ivana. So she comes out, bow, 7.05. After that, it was really interesting because Tara just could not get it together. She just, and I said this, it's all gonna be about, you're gonna have to have consistency and you're gonna have to have composure.
Mm.
And I think that that's what all those championships that Ivana's done will give
absolutely.
Her,
but it's,
Tara,
what it's what we've been talking about all along. Experience,
yeah. Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
That's what it is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because that's a prime example of a circumstance where if you don't have experience, it can throw you. And
yeah.
maybe that's what happened to Tara there.
Yeah.
She gets, you know, one straight after, she goes into lead, straight after she's not in the lead anymore, spends the whole time fighting to get back rather than doing what she was
absolutely.
Doing.
Absolutely, and the thing is, you know, I'm glad that what she did, I'm glad because she ended up getting the silver with the 6.91, which is their first round jump. But you know, last year, at Eugene home, she didn't even make Eugene. And then the year before, which was Olympic year, she was like, I think she had broke Jackie Joyner Kersee's indoor American record. Mm-hmm. And she came out and jumped like 7 meters odd, I think 7.12 or something outdoors early in the season. But then made the Olympics and then went to the Olympics and came fifth. So, but she was like one of the top jumpers. So I was really interested to see what she was gonna do here and if she was gonna really be able to compose herself. She didn't get the gold, but it would have been very difficult for her to have beaten Valletta.
Oh, absolutely.
Really, really difficult.
So at the beginning of this, well, no, last week, you know, we had Christina Hoger and Denise Lewis on as our guests, and we all gave our medal predictions. And we were all sort of like six-ish. And then I think at the end, Christine said, I'm going with seven, I'm gonna be positive. I think Christine may be prophetic, fingers crossed, because none of us thought we were gonna have three medals by the end of the first 2 days.
Do you know what's really interesting as well though, right? What do you guys think about the fact that British Athletics have taken such a small team just to specifically, you know, focus on medal potential?
If we get medals, it's nothing to do with who they selected. Like,
no,
bringing extra people would not help or hinder getting more medals. So if we get medals, personally, I don't think it's much to do with UKA, to be honest.
No, I don't. And I think, to be honest, for me, and I'm sure you guys maybe agree, you have to give people experience.
Okay,
you have to give the younger ones experience so that when they go to the next, you know, championships, when they're ready, when they might have matured enough, then they've got that experience behind them. What have we just been saying about today?
It's
about experience.
Yeah.
And look, Valletta, this is her sixth world championships and she wins the gold.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not giving these young people the chance? Who knows?
100%.
We are totally flogging a dead horse here. I think we said that the last five episodes in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
So Jane, how are you enjoying these championships altogether?
I'm actually really enjoying them, but it's bloody exhausting. Can I say bloody?
Yes, you can.
It's really exhausting. Like, literally, I'm running around, I'm running here, there, and I'm going, how do these people do it all day long, every day, for the whole championships? I'm exhausted after, like, day two.
We always explain this to people, and it sounds like a real first world problem. I went to an athletics meeting, and I was exhausted. I needed a holiday when I finished.
You do.
But it's true, isn't
it? Really,
especially
really
in this heat. I cannot tell you guys how hot it is
it's
here.
It's really hot, but you know what? It's fantastic. It's beautiful. Love
it
the
is.
People. Really laid back. I love the fact that it's a laid back championships. They're not like... you know.
Well, the security is like really low key, isn't it? Like,
that's what I'm saying. It makes it nice to be able to move around. The stadium's so great.
Yeah, the sport so far has been amazing. We're only 2 days in, and the sport has been amazing. Also, I just need to give a shout out to the guy we met on the tram this morning, because we were coming to the stadium, and this guy stopped and said, "Oh, it's the Backstreet Boys." He said, "I'm listening to your podcast right now." So, hi. Well, I'm sorry we didn't get your name. We all had headphones in, but thank you very much, because we do this little podcast for ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't know if anyone's listening. So,
and so many people have stopped us like today.
Nice. So thank you, really thank you very, very much. Jade, thank you for being our guest tonight. Where can people find you? Because we don't see you on track now. We see you on social media.
What are you up to?
You know, I do a podcast called Unconventional Voices of Track. Well, when Anson, my husband, mm-hmm. who's doing sprint culture and sprint interviews and all the other stuff he's doing, when he has time for me, when he has time for us. But yeah, that, you know, it's fun. I just get to give my, you know, how I was very opinionated and not so conventional. So yeah, I like to give my opinions where I can get it. So yeah.
And that's where people can find you on mm-hmm. social media. I know you've got Jade, but you've also got unconventional
voices. Yeah, so it's
Voices
of Track and Field on Twitter. So can we say Twitter?
Yeah, we can.
We only say Twitter.
And then I think we're on Instagram, but I don't do that. So,
you sound like us, because we always get our tags on as well. Yeah. But I think you can find us on Twitter at Backstreet B. You can find us on Instagram, Backstreet Boys Podcast. There's an interview with Kat going up there now. There'll be lots more stuff going up over the rest of the week. So guys, this has been a bit of a long one because we had a great guest. Thank you for joining us for the podcast.
So much to talk about.
Yeah, so much to talk about. Tomorrow, I don't even know what's happening tomorrow. I haven't even looked at the timetable tomorrow.
What? No, hold on. What? There's no morning session.
Oh, so we can have a lie-in.
We
have a lie-in tomorrow morning, but there'll be lots of action tomorrow evening. And then we'll be back tomorrow evening with a special guest, I hope, if we can grab somebody. And we'll see you then. So thanks very much, and we'll keep on enjoying Budapest.
Bye.
Bye.